Good Wednesday afternoon, Metropolitan Indianapolis. It's 4:30 on Wednesday, and you're listening to 919WITT.org. Well, that's the website, obviously. 91.9 FM WITT, the home of unpredictable music, and the Indy's Trusted Servant Show. What is Indy's Trusted Servant? Well, that's me, Danny Omalia. I am Indy's Trusted Servant. I do customer service training and keynote speaking about customer service. It's all about the culture of the organization, which I learned all about from the at the hand of the master, my late father, Joe Omalia, in the grocery business. If you'd like to learn more about that, give me a call at 317-413-9062. What's the Indy's Trusted Servant Show on WITT, the home of unpredictable music? Well, I like to describe it as lively, local, small biz, and community talk where you can feel the pulse of Indy. And today my guest is a relatively new friend, maybe of the last year and a half or so, Anita Williams. Anita Williams and her son Larry, 5 years ago, started the Indianapolis Black Chamber of Commerce. And I've had the pleasure for the last year and a half or so of serving on a small group with a small group of mentors to some of the clients of the Indianapolis Black Chamber. So I thought it was time we brought Anita on to talk about the Indianapolis Black Chamber. Anita, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Danny. I'm glad you invited me.
Well, it's good to have you. I always have my guest, before we get into the meat of the discussion, tell our listeners a little bit about him or herself. So tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to form, along with your son, Larry, the Indianapolis Black Chamber.
All right. I grew up in Indianapolis, right around the corner from O'Malley's on Emerson. I grew up around 38th and Arlington, so we visited O'Malley's quite frequently.
Thank you for doing that. I suspect I should thank your mother, too, right?
I grew up in Indianapolis, went to Arlington High School, went to school at IUPUI, and from there I got a degree in computer integrated manufacturing. After getting that degree,
interesting.
After that degree, I got a job in Des Moines, Iowa, and that job was to bring federal dollars to local manufacturers in Iowa, not necessarily African American, but different manufacturers of in the steel industry, in IT, a variety of manufacturing companies, and it was my job to find federal dollars. So I did that about 5 years.
Before you go any further, since you mentioned Des Moines, how long? 5 years.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of the book The Adventures of the Thunderbolt Kid?
No.
It was written by a real well-known writer named Bill Bryson, and it was about him growing up in the 50s and 60s in Des Moines, Iowa. So keep that in mind, The Adventures of the Thunderbolt Kid.
Des Moines is much like Indianapolis. I really enjoyed living there. It's quiet. It's small. But Indianapolis is a big, small town as well. So Des Moines was the same way. Working in Des Moines, my job was to go around the state to find different manufacturing companies to make sure they understood how to bid on federal dollars and to grow them as well as we could to do federal contracting. The Department of Defense, so we did a lot of work with Rockwell Collins, which is in Cedar Rapids, and John Deere, which is in Dubuque. So after doing that, I had a sick grandchild back here in Indianapolis, so I needed to come back to Indianapolis. When I did that, my son and I started a security company.
Okay, okay.
His background is security. Mine was small business, so we decided to create a security company. So we did that 2013. And in 2014, we attended a state informational session, and it talked about all the different businesses. It was actually their disparity study that they had done in 2014. They were given the results, and the results were that every ethnicity in business had grown since their previous disparity study, except for black businesses. Around the state, black businesses had dropped down to 2%. and they could
black-owned businesses,
and they could see them continuing to spiral down to maybe it was almost negligible within the next 5 or 10 years. And so that was concerning to us. So we decided to ask about the Black Chamber, because there had been other Black Chambers.
Oh, there had been.
Yes, okay. There had been. Okay. Representative Bill Crawford was a big push for one of them for quite a while. But once the funding left, once Bill Crawford got out of the funding left, so then it was defunct. We decided to put our money, our time, our energy together to restart the Black Chamber. And the reason Black Chamber would be important is because when there are things that you don't know in business area, sometimes if you go to when you're the minority, you're already the minority. When it seems like you don't know information, that can be very intimidating. So we thought a chamber would help people to ask the questions that they need, to get the resources that they need. Right now, everything was kind of scattered, you know, in 2014, 2015. So we decided to start the Indy Black Chamber of Commerce.
Here's an important question. Does Larry still have his security business?
Yes. Yes, he and I still have that.
Tell us what it is called.
It is called Rowley Security, R-O-W-L-E-Y. That is my maiden name.
Okay.
So it is a family name. My last name currently is Williams, and we didn't want to do Williams Security.
Too common.
Very, very common. So we went with Rowley Security, and we've been doing that for the past 7 years.
Okay, see, now I learned something about Larry that I didn't really know. Either that or I had forgotten, one or the other. Now, that ill grandchild, was that Larry's child?
Larry's child. She was 6 years old at the time when we came back, and that was in 2001, and when we came back.
Is she okay now?
Yes. Great. She's grown, out of college, graduated from Ball State, and teaching.
Oh, wonderful. That's fantastic. Okay, yes. Now that brings us kind of up to date, right, on the Black Chamber. So before we get to our first underwriter break and talk about next week's show, how many clients or clients isn't the right word. Members do you have in the Black Chamber?
We have just over 200 members in the Black Chamber.
And are they mostly in Marion County?
Yes.
Okay. Now, that 2% that you mentioned in, was it 2013?
That's 2013.
Have we had any updates on those figures?
The state will redo their disparity study this year.
Okay.
So they will be able to update their numbers. And as time has gone on, there have been several other Black Chambers. There is a Black Chamber of Commerce in Muncie. There is one in Anderson. The one in Anderson was actually our parent, our guardian, our mentor, to help us start the one here.
So Anderson helped Indianapolis instead of the other way around.
That's
not usually that way.
No, it isn't.
That's pretty cool. Okay, well, we're going to take a quick underwriter break and talk about next week's show, and then we'll be back with Anita Williams to get more into the meat and bones of the Indianapolis Black Chamber and to talk about the mentor program that I'm involved with the Black Chamber. Our underwriter is a Cathedral High School. If you have a student in 5th through 8th grade, mark your calendar for Cathedral High School's first virtual open house Thursday, November 14th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. Enjoy the sights and sounds of our sparkling 40-acre campus as you experience Cathedral virtually. The event, which includes question and answer panels, performances from some of our talented gee whiz musicians and band members and so on and so forth, testimonials and giveaways. Greatness is calling, so register today at gocathedral.com/openhouse. As I've said since 1958, go Irish, and way to go, beating Carmel to death on Friday night last week. That was one great football game, and I was there. So we want to talk about next week's show. Next week, we're going to have a repeat performance from a kind of a regular on the station, and that is Ryan Henry with Open in Indiana Networking. We're going to talk about how the COVID has impacted Open in Indiana specifically, but kind of networking in general. That should be a very interesting show. And by the way, Open in Indiana is going to become another underwriter for the show in the near future. Now back to Anita Williams with the Indianapolis Black Chamber. What kind of services is... Could you just say the Black Chamber does the same thing as a regular chamber, or what's different about the Black Chamber?
Well, all Chamber of Commerce, their goal is economic development.
Right.
So ours is still about economic development. There are some things that happen in Black businesses. They're slightly different from larger businesses. And the reason could be financing. It's not as easy for a Black-owned business, an owner of a Black business, to get financing.
Especially in the beginning, right? Or
anytime. In the beginning, or anytime.
So but, not everybody is Bill Mays, right?
Correct. He was in the class by himself. So financing was one thing that we saw for a lot of businesses. They needed loans. We went to Lake City Bank. And we asked them to assist us in trying to get money into the hands of these small business owners. So last year, Lake City gave us $200,000, or they helped with $200,000. And this $200,000, we were able to give 40 businesses $5,000 low interest loans.
Cool.
Yes.
Now, last week we had a mentoring meeting virtually,
yes.
Of course. And a new member is Indigo. Which is not a small business at all.
No.
But of those 200 or so members, but we had a lady that does have a small business with us too. And of those 200 small businesses, of the 200 members, would you say 90% of them are really small business?
Some are small. And this is SBA's definition of small. So all of them would be considered small. SBA says anyone with less than 500 employees or less than $10 million is a small business.
Would that include something like Indigo? I wonder.
Not Indigo.
They would
because
be an exception.
Well, Indigo probably makes over $10 million.
I would think.
$10 million is the other cutoff, and Indigo is probably over that. I haven't seen their books, but I would think
But you don't have that many Indigos. It's mostly small guys.
We have a lot of micro business, but then we have corporations. We see Indigo as a corporate sponsor. Indianapolis Airport is a corporate sponsor. Health and Hospitals is a corporate sponsor. So we have a lot of corporate sponsors that help us out as well. And they pay just a little bit more to be a part of the Indy Black Chamber of Commerce.
So they're members and sponsors?
I'm sorry. Let me call them corporate members. They are
corporate
still
members. I got you, because the Indianapolis Rotary does the same thing. They have a corporate membership structure. So it's kind of the same thing. What possessed, I guess it was probably you and or Larry, must have reached out to Wayne Schmidt at some point in time and asked him to start this mentoring program that I'm involved with, along with Wayne and
Nancy.
Nancy
Alexander.
Yes, and she's brand new. But what possessed you to reach out, or did Wayne reach out to you? How'd that work?
Well, we're always trying to decide and gauge what's the best thing for these small businesses. We knew money was imperative. Having a mentor is always important. And there are a lot of mentor-protege programs out there. But Larry met Wayne at Mickey's camp. And they began to talk about what Larry did. And Mr. Schmidt was talking about retiring. He was about a year away from retiring.
Yeah.
So Larry said, well, what are you going to do with your time? He said, I don't know. I'm going to find some way to give back. And Larry said, from what you've done, how you took a business from nothing since you were the founder and grew it to where it is now, you would be a great mentor for some of the businesses in the Indy Black Chamber. And he said, I'd love to do that. So we took one of our members, and they were our first guinea pig.
So it was just Larry and a member at first. Right.
Yes.
Okay, one-on-one?
One-on-one.
And without mentioning the business, can you say what kind of business it was?
It was a furniture business.
Okay.
He'd been in the furniture company business for quite a while. And so Wayne was able... What I like about what Wayne teaches is thinking about the culture of the company. And I think quite often when we start a business, we just hire people, tell them what we want them to do. We don't think about the culture that's trickling down.
Yep.
And so Wayne was able to help us wrap our minds around, what type of culture do you want to set up?
And that's why he called me, because I'm a culture guy. And
yes.
I learned that from watching my dad build a culture, right?
And you have to build a culture.
You have to build it, and you have to maintain it.
And you have to maintain it.
And pay attention to it.
So,
you're right. A startup person doesn't hardly have time to think about that, but it's important.
Right. And when you are a black business, quite often you don't have the resources that the other people may have as well. Resources as far as CPAs, access to attorneys, access to people that know the type of insurance you may need.
Yeah.
If you've got to be bonded. So we can bring all those people together, and these are the things we have done. You bring these people together and give the members access to these people. And try to assist at a lower cost where we can. And let them know, give them options for CPAs. But remind them you need a CPA.
Yes. For sure.
You know, reminding them that you need an attorney. Quite often, unless they have an attorney kind of standing in front of them, they don't think about these types of things. They know what it is that they want to do. Their business is their baby. But there are so many other avenues to your business that you don't even consider when you think about opening a business.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't open a business and say, boy, I want to go out and get a lawyer and a CPA.
Exactly.
Immediately.
You
don't. Might think about getting the loan, but you don't think about those other things. But you do have to have those things. And so I would assume that your members have access to these specialty
they do
services at maybe a lower rate than the norm.
Yes, they
right?
do. Yes.
And so back to the mentoring program, I got involved last year, and now we've added Nancy. And talk about more about the depth that you hope we can take this membership program to.
Well, our hope.
I mean mentorship program.
our hope is that just as O'Malley's grew and Schmidt and Associates grew, it is nice to be able to have access to people that understand how to grow a business and to have them at your fingertips to say, hey, this is what my issue is. What do you think I need to do? How can you help me move through this? We brought Nancy on as well because she worked in HR the most of her life.
That's another specialty area that
exactly.
Yeah, the members need.
So Nancy understands the rules and the regulations, how you hire people, what they can and cannot do, making
the questions
sure
you can and cannot ask, for instance.
Exactly.
Right?
So yeah. So there are, with the three of you, I think my mentor team is complete now because I have you, I have Wayne, and I have Nancy. You talk about culture. You talk about customer service in such detail. Then I think that's what everybody needs to understand, that the customer is still important. And I go too many places where they don't believe or understand that the customer is important.
And that goes back to culture. Right?
It does.
You know, there's a difference between going to, let's pick a couple of well-known companies out there. There's a difference of how it feels to go to Chick-fil-A versus the usual drive-through place.
Yes.
Right? There's a difference what it feels to fly Southwest as opposed to average airline. I saw a video this last week on Facebook of a Southwest stewardess. You know, when you go on a plane and they give you all the, here's the flotation devices and here's the oxygen mm-hmm. thing. Well, she was so funny. She got the message across, but she had the whole plane laughing like crazy. That wouldn't happen on any other airline. That's the kind of stuff
right.
that a great culture will enhance. At Chick-fil-A, it's always, you know, thank you, and the restrooms are super clean and everything. I saw something, another thing, Chick-fil-A is a good example. Somebody said, if whoever devised the drive-through for Chick-fil-A could get in the government and run the government, we'd be a lot better off. And you go to, I don't know, do you go to Chick-fil-A?
I do.
You go there and you go, there's 100 cars in line. This will take all day. But it doesn't.
It never does. And that is true across the nation. My son and daughter-in-law live in Virginia, and they love Chick-fil-A, and they love the service. You pull up in Chick-fil-A, no matter how late in the day or how long the young people have been outside, they take your order with a smile, and they always get it right.
And that's just a big difference between, you know, nothing against the other fast food things, but you talk about always getting it right. That doesn't always happen.
No, it doesn't.
And if Chick-fil-A does make a mistake, boy, do they bend over backwards. That's awesome. Okay, we're going to take another quick underwriter break, talk about next week's show a little bit. Then we'll be back with Anita Williams of the Indianapolis Black Chamber for our last segment. Our underwriter is Cathedral High School. If you have a student in 5th through 8th grade, mark your calendar for Cathedral High School's virtual open house Thursday, November 12th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. Enjoy the sights and sounds of our sparkling 40-acre campus as you experience Cathedral virtually. The event will include question and answer panels, performances by some of our talented musicians and drama folks, and so on and so forth, testimonials, and giveaways. Greatness is calling. So register today at gocathedral.com/openhouse. I've said since 1958, go Irish. Next week's guest will be kind of a regular on the show, my networking guru, Ryan Henry of Open in Indiana. By the way, you can access prior shows of the Indy Trusted Servant Show on the Open in Indiana website. And Ryan's going to talk about how Open in Indiana has been impacted by the COVID and what they're doing about the COVID. So that's going to be an interesting show, which might ask Anita that question too. How's the COVID impacted you folks, and what are you doing about it now?
Well, COVID left everyone in shock, of course, and many of our businesses needed to close their doors. They just weren't ready for this pandemic, the social distancing.
They weren't big enough to...
Correct. So yeah. Most of them are selling online. And if they didn't have an online presence before, they do now. But as they were getting up to sell online, we started a Friday event. We call it Shopping Our Stores. It's a Facebook Live event that we do every Friday. And we started it at the Jewel Center because of social distancing. The Jewel Center is a huge event center, and it would allow us up to 10 people to be in the building at once. And we could tape, we could have 3 to 4 of our businesses come in, talk about what their wares are, introduce themselves, and talk about their social presence and buy and sell at that time.
Awesome. That's great.
Yes, been doing it since May the 1st. So it worked so well. RTV6, one of the television stations here, decided to partner with us, and they run it on their Facebook platform as well.
That's great.
Yes. Yes.
That's fantastic. Back to the small businesses that maybe had to close their doors. What have you done with them? In the meantime, they haven't been able to pay their dues then, right?
Oh, and that's not something we even discuss with them right now. We have a lot of people calling saying, oh, I can't pay my dues right now. And we say, don't even worry about that.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, we're not going to focus on that. It's about keeping the doors open. So we have a lot of small restaurants that were just run by 2 or 3 people, but were never made for people to come in and sit down and eat.
Yeah, that's tough. And they're mostly still closed.
They're still closed. Yeah, and so we're trying to find the money through LISC. And LISC is the organization allowing us to run our co-working space that'll be open in just a few weeks.
Well, we want to talk about that. But before I forget, what if somebody wants to help the Black Chamber, a volunteer, join or donate money? Give me your website. How do they access you guys?
Oh, that's a great idea, Danny.
Well,
how did I miss that?
I didn't think of it.
When you're in business, that's the first thing you think about. Tell people how to get in touch with
you. There you go.
Our website is www.indybcc.org. That's INDY, B as in boy, C as in cat again, .org. Our phone number is 317-643-0989.
Have you guys had in the past any fundraising events, mm-hmm. like auctions or anything like that, golf outings, whatever?
We do an annual banquet, usually mid-August. This year was canceled.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of.
As a fundraiser, at the end of the year, we do a masquerade ball where we ask people to come and just have a good time. That may not happen this year.
But is it still either. Possible?
Possible.
Do you have a date set?
Yes, we do. It'll be the first Saturday in November. And I don't know what that date is. I said we have a date set. We do whatever that first Saturday in November is.
I'll look it up here real quick.
That is our
November is the 7th.
November the 7th. That will be our masquerade.
And you can go to that website to keep updated as to whether that event's going to happen.
Correct.
If it doesn't happen, would you try to do it virtually?
No.
No?
Not that event.
Not that event.
We are doing a lot of things virtually. The mentoring program that we usually do face-to-face, we're doing that virtually.
Right.
Once a month, we have our new members orientation. And every time someone joins, we take them through everything we've done in the past and the things we're planning for in the future, just to get them ready for all the stuff that goes on in the Black Chamber. We do a pastor's luncheon each year. That didn't happen this year. One thing that did happen was lunch with the legislators. We go to the State House in February.
So luckily that was before COVID.
We just made it.
Yeah.
And we just meet all of our representatives. They tell us the bills that they're working on. We are a 501c3, so although we can't lobby, our members can still hear what's going on and get involved.
Yes.
So we have up to 500 people come to our lunch with the legislators.
Well, you guys have made a lot of progress in 5 years, it sounds like, and you keep coming
with
new stuff, right?
All the time.
In the meantime, you're still running the security company,
yes.
Rowley. Okay.
Yes.
So hats off to you guys for that. We've only got a couple of minutes left. What have we forgotten? What can you think of?
If you want to donate, go to our website, because we do have a button that will allow you to donate. And what I want to say is, during this racial unrest, that was how I met Nancy. Nancy wanted to donate to some of the businesses that were hurt during the riot.
Oh,
yes.
I love her.
And so we thought that was just so tremendous of her to have a heart that big to want to donate to those who were hurt during that time. So I really appreciate that.
Okay. Hey, got to ask Russ real quick. Do we have a promo for Indiana Nocturne?
6 p.m.
Tonight.
You got it.
What's the show?
This one will be one with John Rabel. Let me jump on microphone here so we can hear better. This is a special edition that's mostly going to be John Rabel playing some of his favorite stuff because it's his birthday week.
Awesome. Back to Anita Williams with the Indianapolis Black Chamber of Commerce. She and her son Larry started 5 years ago. Give us that website one more time.
Website is www.indybcc.org. IndyBCC.org.
Don't forget next week, Ryan Henry with Open in Indiana Networking. And we will see you then. Anita Williams with the Indianapolis Black Chamber. Thank you for being our guest.
Thank you, Danny.
On Open in Indiana. Great to have you.